And apparently three of us survived episode 500.
Oh, Tony. That was a rough go for me, buddy.
I know. I was there. I was there with you at the end. Like, and this was, what, it was like an hour or so after the episode ended. It was you and I were still on talking.
I have no memory of that.
That's not surprising.
You know what I do have memory of? Vomiting several times.
Oh, well.
Into my kitchen sink.
DSP provides.
Which is the third sink furthest from my bed.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, two of those sinks before the kitchen sink also have toilets directly adjacent to them. So, ooh. I passed up many opportunities before settling on vomiting into my sink where I had a mountain of dishes. So, I avoided that disaster for 2 full days.
That sounds like choices.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
You're a catch.
I know.
I'm giving my machine priority. I don't know if it's on my end or StreamYard's end, but you were sounding a little
chopped.
Yeah, you were sounding a little chopped there. I just want to make sure that it wasn't.
You know, that might actually be me. I don't know what the deal has been lately, but my Wi-Fi here has been tough.
Mm.
Tough to deal with.
Yeah, I may get a point to give this device priority on our network when we record. Just because, because I don't know what any of these other monsters are going to do on this network here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realized. So my boss and I were talking about, like, I have a Google On Hub that I bought in, like, 2015.
Yep.
So it's maybe about time to adjust that situation.
I've got the Google Wi-Fi, and I'm pretty pleased with it.
Yeah, the On Hub was the Google Wi-Fi before Google Wi-Fi.
Right, so right. That was the precursor.
Yeah, it's an old device.
Yeah, they've got, and Google... Google Wi-Fi is even the old device now because they've got the Nest Wi-Fi, which is the latest iteration. And it's got, and it, this was actually really brilliant because, like, so I've got one of the hubs right here. It's just a box. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the Wi-Fi hubs. There's one here in the office and this is the one for upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I know that life.
Yeah, we got one upstairs, one in the living room, one in the dining room. Just kind of spread it around the house a little bit. But the Nest iteration has a Google Home built into it, which is, just makes sense. I mean, if you've got the devices scattered about, you might as well get the dual purpose out of them. Mm. So, yeah, no, I understand. We have to play with our settings every once in a while with conference calls and different stuff going on. Aaron and I had competing conference calls this afternoon, me with work and her with Girl Scouts. So it's the life. I mean,
so Girl Scouts got priority.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we need to make sure those cookies come in right.
Good. Know? I'm glad. I'm waiting.
Yeah, we all are. I think I believe we were told they will come in the second week of February. So I think we're about a week and a half out from getting them.
That's kind of even early, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we were actually surprised at how early they're coming. Normally it's a little later than that, but hey, we're not going to argue. We did all our orders this year online. That worked out really well. But not having to exchange money, any of that. Yeah.
That old manila envelope.
Yeah. And our marked up order sheets. Yeah. Yep. So, hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
This is David.
I guess I should reorder the screen.
I always go last.
You always go last, I know. Except for on Friday, but that was just because there were a billion of us.
Yeah, we had the Octobot. Did we get up to 10?
We got up to 12 total. We filled out the screen, which was 10, and then two joined after. Yeah. Yeah, when I was because I did the tagging of the episode and the posting, which it'll actually drop on Friday. So I set that all up today, and it was like, all right, who all was there? And then I had to remember who all showed up. Cause there was a few people who were quieter than others, but yeah, it was a full house. There was 12 of us. We capped out at 10, which is all that the version of StreamYard that we're using caps out at 10. Apparently there's some like super professional version that will get 12 on the screen. But like it was enough with 10. We pay a few bucks for this version. But the free version will allow like 10 in the studio. And then, but we can only broadcast with 6 at a time. If you use the free version, we pay a few bucks for this version, which is really nice. We can get more people on if we want, but mostly I like it because it strips the audio out for me, which is really nice when it comes to doing the podcast. One of the things I mentioned that I had heard, they've recently teamed up with somebody, and part of this team up is they're getting a lot of new technology add-ons for the service. And one of them is that at some point we'll have the ability, when we strip the audio out, it will strip each of our audio streams as a separate channel, which when it comes to editing the audio is just choice, because inevitably somebody's got a bad mic or, you know, when we had so many people on last week, somebody, and I don't know who it was because there were so many of us, somebody had just a little bit of feedback on their end. So it caused this like light hum through the first part of the recording. I mean, we can do a little bit about it. There's only so much with everybody in a different stream, with everybody gets their own channel. That's going to be real easy to fix that stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to that for what we're doing.
Got to keep an eye on Romeo. He had some dental work today.
Oh, that sounds challenging.
Is he feeling rough?
He's feeling rough.
Yeah. But
he's got kitty morphine, so he's feeling not so rough.
Right yeah, now. That's pretty smooth.
Yeah, but they gave me specific, and so because he couldn't eat last night, he cried nonstop all night because he was hungry, and just like he's never had this situation in his life for the last 8 years where he didn't want something and then just not immediately get it. Like
yep. That's
just how his life is now. So it's just an utter rejection of that reality all night. So yeah. They gave me very specific instructions about how to feed him when I got home, like not to give him a full can of food because he's just gonna like eat so much of it and then throw it all up.
Yeah.
So I've been like piecemeal feeding him over the last couple hours and he is not happy about it.
You're holding back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're keeping an eye on him so he doesn't come up after you with a knife.
Yeah. Listen, asshole, I know there's more food in that can.
And if nothing else, I'll just gank you and eat you.
Yeah.
Get the right knife and it's time for David Filet.
Leo Dave.
All right, so tonight is the 501st episode. In honor of the 501st, and because I always wanted to do every one of the Star Wars movies as part of the podcast, we're doing the final episode in the Skywalker saga of movies, Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. Anna, what'd you think?
I So, okay, I have always struggled with the Star Wars franchise. What I do is I wind up randomly, like, over the course of my life, I've been dragged to Star Wars movies by other people. So the first one was, it was probably Empire Strikes Back. No, it was Return of the Jedi, 1983. My parents took me wrapped in a blanket, thinking I'd sleep. I stayed awake the whole time and threw up twice. So I've never put the full story together and have always watched it sort of fading in and out, like with cousins, with family, with whatever, with friends, like watched it sort of fading and never known. So I decided I need to watch the whole thing, like chronologically, and start with number one and get all the way to number nine.
Yeah, so, see, Tony, that expression. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started this on Saturday.
I don't watch them in, but okay, yeah.
Well, that's the internet said that was the chronological order, and I wanted to get a strong sense of the...
It is. Did you also include in that Rogue One, just out of curiosity?
I did regret doing that because it was kind of a waste of time and, yeah, didn't move me. And so I wound up not managing to watch 7 and 8. Like, I know I've seen 7 like ages ago, but like barely remembered it. So I watched like, little internet synopses of it, like on YouTube, and then move forward and watch 9. And
well, I'm kind of curious what you got out of an internet synopsis of 8, depending on your source,
yeah,
because there are wildly different opinions about that one. Like,
I thought
wildly.
It was fairly loved. Just in a quick Google. No.
I feel like your friends would love it. A lot of the people that share your values probably loved it.
Oh yeah. Well, I know like people hated it because there were too many women. But like, that's stupid. Like, I don't care about these people. But
there were too many women and too many minorities, and they took our hero white guy and turned him into a cook. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't.
That is not an opinion I share.
And I'm sure that there are also like reasonable reasons to not like 7, but it seemed like generally by the, I don't know, just with the skim seemed fairly loved, at least more loved than 9. I don't have a good sense of how it caps off. It doesn't feel like it ties everything together in the way I had hoped, but I also wonder if I'm just missing some things. And I'm probably missing some things. And it also, I did, funnily enough, enjoy the fight scenes most of all in this one.
Okay.
I thought they looked better. I thought the characters were certainly better than the prequel trilogy. Even just as good as the middle, like the original trilogy. Maybe I was impressed with the characters and relationships in 9. As far as the story itself and what it did to tie together, I'm a little but I could be, I don't know how much of it is just not being familiar enough with the mythos as a whole.
No, that's fair. Because we'll get more into that. Let's finish with the high level. Mm-hmm. David.
I hate this movie.
Okay.
What I wanted to happen was I wanted to watch it again before we did this whatever, mm-hmm, and discover some sort of complication or nuance to this film that I missed the first time and be like, I saw it opening night, the midnight release, and like it just didn't rock my world, and then I got in a sour mood about it and just found a bunch of reasons to hate it. But nope, it's still terrible.
I enjoyed the movie a lot as I walked out of it the first time I saw it. And I know there's a tremendous amount of hate for this movie on the internet. So I wanted to go back with fresh eyes and watch this movie and be able to speak against the naysayers. And the complete and utter hatred of the movie I can't get behind. But this movie made choices, and it made choices that were not well thought out, that should have been looked at harder before they committed to them. And they should have done a better job managing the trilogy of movies that they produced than they did. And that's, I think that that's what it comes down to the most. I think there are some really great things that happen in the movie, followed intermixed, and they are the few and far between of colossally bad choices that taint the rest of it. So let's just dive right in.
Okay. Best thing about the movie is obviously Babu Freak.
Babu Freak, and I think the dialogue between Finn and Poe, and their back and forth, the chemistry between those two characters is joyous. And I thoroughly enjoyed that those moments. Those those are some of the best parts of it. But there are some colossal... Billy Dee Williams was a great injection into it. It was perfect timing. Was
exactly what I wanted from Lando. And you know what? Even at the end, when he's clearly trying to bang that like 22-year-old chick, like that feels very Lando to me.
It does.
Very Lando to me.
It is very true to the character.
That feels very Donald Glover, 40 years in the future. That feels very, very good to me.
Yeah, it feels very...
Let's find out.
Billy Dee Williams, 30 years in the future off of Empire. I mean... Yeah, that all rang very true. I think, and it's not just because I thought that this was going to be where the movie went before we saw it, but I really hoped, and I still believe, that they should have started this movie with a funeral for Leia. Just start this movie with Leia's funeral.
Get the gut punch out of the way.
Yeah, we know it's there. We know it's coming. Let's do that. Let's hit that emotional beat right at the beginning.
Yep.
And move past it, and launch into what's left for the Skywalker saga. You know, we don't have her anymore, and the way they tried to use her was a valiant attempt that failed miserably. It was so bad. I think in watching it live in the theater for the first time, it was okay because it was what we got. Looking back on it now, this was not how they should have done it, because they did such a disservice to Kelly Tran through that whole sequence that it really ruined her character also, because they kept trying to use her as the character that is going to interact with stock footage of Carrie Fisher, and it didn't work. And it wasn't her fault. It wasn't Kelly Tran's fault at all. Not even a little. It was, it just really wasn't done well. They should have checked that out. They should have done some test footage of that or something, and realized this isn't going to work. We can't do this, because they ended up just pushing through, thinking it was going to be able to be done, realizing that this isn't working. So they cut a ton, supposedly, from what I've heard, they cut a ton of stuff that was supposed to be interactions between not Carrie Fisher and there was apparently worse things.
Oh my God. Worse? Yeah. That's not possible. You know what? It is possible, but
it's possible.
It's hard for me to imagine things worse.
At least
it was so bad.
If it's not that, then that's the excuse they use for how underutilized she was through this movie. It's like, we had bigger plans for her, but we just couldn't use him because it didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have gone that route in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. When Because they did Han in episode 7 and then Luke in episode 8, like episode 9 was supposed to be like the legacy Leia story. So when Carrie Fisher dies, you can't do that this way. Right. Like, and here's the thing, like, the frustrating thing is that from an emotional standpoint, anybody who's seen this movie, with the exception of Anna, has seen the other 8 movies. Right. Like, so you know who Leia is now. And right. Like, you've got an emotional connection with Leia, starting out with a proper nerd funeral, because we collectively, as nerds who grew up with this, didn't ever have a nerd funeral for Carrie Fisher, because like no one fucking does that, right? But using the beginning of episode 9 to be that send-off for our Princess General, like, that is a flawless act to make the movie about her, but also not about her. Like, about her, but without her.
Right.
Like, and that is exactly what they should have done. That first 20 minutes should have been some in media res, her death funeral, some heroic thing. Like,
yeah.
She dies saving like a burning school bus of orphans or something, right? Like some adequately heroic Princess General thing to do.
Yes.
So if she had died, if Leia had died at the very beginning, then how would they have borne out? Because, I mean, a big part of this story is Rey gaining her last name, like, or embracing Skywalker as her name and realizing family isn't just about blood and sort of integrating. And how would we have, like, was that already in 7-8? Like, was their relationship developed enough that that would have been okay? Or,
well, I mean, she's taking Skywalker from Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's taking it from him.
Okay. Okay.
Less so than Leia.
Oh, because of their dyadic. Okay.
That and the whole previous movie was a lot of her relationship with Luke.
Luke.
So the previous movie, just to kind of give you a little synopsis, at the end of 7, you know, she searched the entire movie of 7 for Luke.
Yeah.
Right? He got his lightsaber. She shows up on his island at the end, and then she's holding it out to him. That's where 7 ends. So the beginning of 8, she hands him the lightsaber, and he looks at it, and he just throws it away. Mm-hmm. Right?
Literally. So
literally just throws it away. Like, he just doesn't give a shit about it. Right? So the entire movie is this Luke trying to convince Rey that this Jedi ideal that she's chasing doesn't make a difference. Like, the one lone hero. Okay, let's just do the why 8 was great real quick. Okay? So we got this hero story in 4, 5, and 6 about how Luke becomes a Jedi and defeats the Empire, right? Well, movie 8 is Luke 30 years in the future. He's gone through and seen some shit, and he's like, the New Order has risen again. Literally all the sacrifices and everything we did before changed nothing. The lone hero defeating the Empire story is a scam. This whole Jedi Order with this prophecy and all this other nonsense leads to the creation of this situation, right? Like, this hero journey, this isn't how you enact systemic change in the world. Mm-hmm. And people keep looking to me to be this hero instead of them taking charge and making the changes themselves. So I have to remove myself from this situation. Otherwise, I'm making it worse. And like, so he's just stuck in this like weird nihilistic place where, like, being the hero has turned him into a villain, right? And so that's the entire story. And it's, like, a really beautiful progression for, like, real people. Like, you know, when you're in your teens, you're like, oh, I'm going to change the world. But then you go grizzled in your 40s, and you're like, yeah, okay, that what I thought in my teens was, like, changing the world isn't how that works. Like, the world is infinitely more complex than that.
And really, we skipped Luke's 40s. Like, we're way past his 40s by the time we see him. And I think the one thing that David skips in all this is that Luke was under this impression that the Jedi were this noble order of knights that were going to save the world and save the universe, where what we learned as viewers watching the prequels, as god awful as they are at points, but the story that the point of the story that matters for this is that the Jedi weren't. They were this lumbering structure, bureaucracy that ended up causing more problems than they solved. And Luke, in hindsight, learns this. Like that's what he learns in, you know, in the intervening years. And he, you know, he does the thing in his 30s and 40s that you try to do. It's like, well, you know, I was the hero, so I'm going to pass that on. I'm going to bring up the next generation and help them and help bring them forward. And he realized that he's not any better than anybody else is. And he's just a dude who it was gifted these things. He didn't earn them any more than anybody else does. They were a gift. And he used that gift and he stopped the progression of bad for a while. And now he's tapping out.
Yeah.
Just because I was gifted these great things doesn't mean I'm a savior. And that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the thing that I really loved about 8. Like 8 tells a really great story. And there are a lot of people that just absolutely hate 8 because it took their hero and turned him jaded and sour on the whole thing.
And what is the best part of 8? Okay. The culmination, the final fight of 8. Luke Skywalker finally takes the battlefield against an entire army of the First Order, okay? The entire army is just arrayed out in front of him, and Luke Skywalker stands alone in front of them. Kylo Ren gets out. They have this intense duel. It goes on for 5 minutes, and at the end of the 5 minutes, you find out Luke Skywalker isn't even fucking there.
It's just a projection of him. He also never draws his lightsaber. He's never a combatant. He's strictly dancing around Kylo Ren's attacks. He's just avoiding the fight.
Yeah, he's just distracting so other people can get away. Like, and it's so poignantly done in the movie. Okay, that was so offensive to fanboys that they had to undo everything that happened in 8 in the 9th movie.
Yeah.
Like, you just had to undo it. Like, Rey's parentage, the big reveal in 8 is Kylo tells her, yeah, your parents were nobody.
Yeah.
They were just some random...
Okay.
Yeah. No, we didn't know. We didn't know. In 7, we never found out. There was hints that Han and Leia knew. But there was never a reveal to the audience of who they were. And having it be Palpatine's clone is just such a weird choice. They had better choices. They had such better choices. Like, I had this whole headcanon where Obi-Wan Kenobi went and hooked back up with Padme's handmaiden that sure. All right, so if you look at Rey, Leia, and Padme, there are a lot of very similar features in all three of them. Well, Keira Knightley also favors them because she played the handmaid who doubles as Padme. So, like, there are a couple looks that Obi-Wan gives her that it's like, all right, I can totally see after this is all said and done, Obi-Wan goes back and it's like, hey, Jedi aren't a thing anymore. So you want to see if this thing works?
Yeah.
She's also younger. You know,
it's very lonely.
It does get very lonely. like, I had this whole thing worked out in my head and it worked. It was perfect. And then the Palpatine thing. All right, that's the story you want to tell for the ending. It's a weird choice.
I don't know why we had to like explicitly undo it's not even like a subtle thing. Like in the previous movie, your parents were they were just random people.
Yeah.
Okay, your parents were Palpatine's kids now. Okay. Great.
Yeah, but clones aren't the same as kids since there are so many of them. So institutionally, what happened to the clones? Because you don't see them anymore. I mean, there's the Clone Wars.
I don't know.
Did they just go away with that initial Empire?
Or... So I think they turned into them because Kylo Ren's got them in the opening fight sequence when he's looking for the magic map.
Those weren't clones. Those were stormtroopers that were conscripted the way Finn was. Yeah, okay. First Order doesn't use clones. They're using conscripted troopers.
Yeah.
So I was just
I guess it couldn't be though, because the clones would be like 60 years old now.
Right.
Which doesn't really make sense. But yeah. That may explain where they went.
Yeah, so if they just did one generation, didn't want to do anymore. But I thought maybe I had missed some other things in other parts. And I thought this was interesting to like weave them into the story. Because I mean, the notion of there being a lot of clones running around does create some like fascinating possibilities.
Yeah. No. So there was the Clone Wars cartoon series, which honestly, I never watched. There's a lot of story told between Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels that I just haven't gone back to yet.
Mm-hmm. And that I watched time period is like between episode 2 and episode 3.5 ish.
Yeah.
So like that's what that time period is.
Yeah, and then even in The Mandalorian, we haven't heard anything about clones yet. Okay. Part of the story is they're actively trying to do stuff with the cloning technology, but we haven't. We're two seasons in and they haven't really gone anywhere with that. There's a lot of speculation that the Mandalorian's going to tell the story that fully will come close to fully bridging the gap between between Return of the Jedi and the Force Awakens, because it starts 5 years after Return of the Jedi. Okay. So that's where we're at with the Mandalorian. And there's some speculation that the cloning they're doing there is going to result in how we have Snoke, who was apparently the big bad until he died in episode 8.
Yeah. Bringing Palpatine back is just the beginning of the problem.
And we start that with the opening crawl.
It's the first 7 words of the opening crawl is where you know this movie is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, the only reason they brought Palpatine back as the big bad was because they had to remind Star Wars fans this was still a Star Wars movie and there was an emperor. There was a bad emperor to fight. Like, literally, that's the only reason we're doing it. And for some reason, they couldn't work out any sort of complicated villain story with Kylo Ren, which is baffling to me. Like, this character we've been establishing as the villain for 2 movies now, you can't somehow work into being a villain in the third movie, especially when there is precedent for the villain to have a redemption arc in the goddamn movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they made such weird choices through all 3 of the last 3 movies. they set up things that could have been, and then because they didn't have a clear vision running through them, the whole idea we're going to let 3 different directors and writing teams shape the vision for the last 3 movies was just a bad decision. It was just bad from the jump.
It's just confusing. You know you're going to do 3 movies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's frustrating when they do things like the weird way they killed Han in 7, that they could have had that be part of Kylo's redemption, that he didn't, that Han grabbed the saber and turned it on himself, which would have been weird, but also not as weird as what they've done. Like, okay, you don't have the strength to do what's necessary. I'll do it. I'll be the one that does it.
Yeah. Pull like a Snape Dumbledore situation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very frustrating. My biggest feeling watching this movie is just frustration. I'm not angry at it, but they made choices, and they made choices long before they started making this movie, but then they didn't try to correct those choices. Like they just kept doubling down on some of them, and it's rough.
Also, like a consistent theme I love out of the like most recent trilogy is that none of the writers can conceptualize having like spacefaring in any way, like in any realistic form. Like, oh, well, we just don't know how to get to this place anymore. What? What the? What are you talking about? Like, information isn't like centralized in places. If like literally anyone has ever gone there, the information isn't localized to the planet. Like, there's just no way to control star information like that. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I like how we need the dagger. Well, how are we going to use this dagger? I don't know. We're going to get it there. So we take the dagger. We hold it up. We're going to hold up this dagger. Here. I'm going to use a prop here. We're going to hold up this dagger. Then we're going to pull something out of the hilt. And we just happen to stand at the one place where this actually works on this. What the fuck is happening here?
Who forged this dagger? Who forged this fucking dagger?
The ancient runic Sith.
Oh my god. And why do we have a boat?
Yeah.
Why do we need a dangerous boat ride? Fuck. Like, literally everything in the Star Wars universe hovers. Everything in the Star Wars universe hovers.
Yes. Yeah, why does a boat need to actually be on the water? Though, and here's where there is something really cool that they clearly wanted to have the really cool lightsaber fight in the water, in the rain. The lightsaber fight in the rain with the rain hitting the blades and sparkling all around it, that was really fucking cool. I'm sorry, that was just really neat. That was really, really cool. How we got there was dumb. Yeah, how we got there was really dumb.
How we got there was dumb.
You know, if they just said, and now we're going to fight on the water. Okay. But you could have just told us that.
Yeah. I mean, what they did learn, other than that first sequence, that like just watching somebody with a lightsaber cut through people is really fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have lightsabers in the mix, it's got to be a duel situation. Like, otherwise, it's just tedious as shit to watch.
Yes.
Like, and so. Except for that fight at the end of episode 3. That shit was tedious as fuck to watch, too, because it took 25 goddamn minutes.
Yeah.
For what's-his-face to cede the high ground to Obi-Wan. Fuck, come on. This is too much duel. Okay? You've swung too far the other way with the duel situation. Right?
But why does Kylo Ren have a cross-shaped lightsaber, like a Scourge of God type crusader?
So there's it was something cool and different and nerdy. And the idea, plus the first time we saw it, it's clearly not as well crafted a lightsaber as the other ones. Even when we see it now in this movie, the close-ups on it, there's no shielding around it. You can see the wires running along the hilt and stuff like that. Any other lightsaber you see is well-crafted. It's forged. It looks cool. It looks good. And the blade is very precise, where this one is kind of raw and jagged. And the idea was
like
that
fire.
The idea, and I think the tone they were trying to get across with it, even though it's not explicitly stated, is that Kylo didn't really have somebody to show him, to guide him in making a lightsaber. He just had to use kind of like found information to do it. And so his is like him. It's very raw. It's unpolished. And I mean, that's the one thing you miss out of the first one, is he is a little bit more contained and in control in this movie. He still has moments where he loses it, but one of some of the funniest moments of episode 7 is just when he's just losing his shit. And he does frequently. There's one point where some stormtroopers walk in on him and he's just slashing this console to bits. And the stormtrooper walks in, they're like, just slowly back right back out of the room. It's really good. Like it had some good moments, but like you, they do a lot of showing of that aspect of Kylo, and he has tempered that a little bit. He still loses it a lot with this one, in this one. So it's still part of his nature.
Yeah. I mean, that part of it is that he's rubbing off on Rey and Rey is rubbing off on him too.
Right.
Like, because she's becoming increasingly reckless as the movies progress, and he's becoming increasingly contained, which is, I guess, whatever theme they were going at with this fucking dyad made up bullshit that was fucking stupid. Like, I don't know why we have to, like, make these named artifacts of the Force when you could just do the thing, and then we don't have to, like, name it. It doesn't have to be fucking weird, like a dyad of the Force. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, you could literally not name it and everyone gets what's happening here.
Yeah.
Like, because apparently they've discovered some ability to pass objects through space and time. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. I actually thought that was kind of, that whole, like, ending sequence where she passes some of the lightsabers actually pretty cool.
That was actually pretty cool. I did like that. Again, there's these moments of really cool things.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is that, like, there are a bunch of elements of this movie that I really want to like. It's just that the context makes it impossible. Like, at the ending sequence when Lando shows up and he's got, like, this fucking space armada with him, like, in a different context with a different setup and a different situation where, like, we've built ourselves into this hopeless, bleak existence, pulling on the themes from the previous movie where Luke isn't the solitary hero, but it's going to take a collective effort to make systemic change. That is a really good conclusion. And they come out of nowhere and Lando's like, listen, we put out the call and people showed up. Like, it's a very compelling visual story element that could be very impactful and awesome. But instead, where they're going is dumb. What they're doing is stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Then again, I did like the ground fight on the Star Destroyer. Like, to see a horse charging through a Star Destroyer, at one point I'm like, that's duh. No, that's actually really cool. I can't even fault that one. Because, yeah, you would have brought ground troops the way they were with their intention. All right, we're going to use what we brought. Yeah, so what's a fucking horse? We intended to use it. Let's use it.
Yeah. Lock out their speeders. They're not on speeders. All right, yeah, I'm in. Fine, fuck it, I'm in. Listen, there's the frustrating thing about talking about Star Wars movies is that there's this, like, gradient scale of shit doesn't make sense and the stories don't generally work. So, like, my complaints about this movie, like, are even beyond the bullshit Star Wars factor scale.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you wouldn't bring fucking horse. Why would you ground assault that tower? Why wouldn't you just shoot it from the sky? But also, it's Star Wars. Let's ground assault the tower. Great.
Right.
All right. Fine. Fuck it. Let's just do that. All right.
I mean,
we're gonna do it. Let's just do it. All right. Fine.
I mean, we ground assaulted.
Fuck it. Let's bring horses. All right.
We're gonna ground assault Hoth. Why didn't we just drop rocks on it from orbit? You know.
Like, yeah.
I mean, these are things that more sophisticated sci-fi has told us is the better way, and we probably at that point would have even. I mean, at that point there were probably more sophisticated sci-fi authors going, "Well, this is dumb," but you know what?
But
9-year old me was like, that was really the coolest thing I've ever seen ever.
Yeah. AT-ATs are fucking stupid, but they look awesome.
But also we call them AT-ATs, not AT-ATs. So
I call it AT-ATs. You call it an AT-cyst?
No, those are AT-STs, but it was an AT-AT. AT-ATs were first. They were. All right. How old are you though?
I'm 37.
That's the difference. How old were you when Empire Strikes Back came out?
Ooh, I think my mom might have been pregnant with me.
Uh-uh. Nope.
No, because Empire Strikes Back came out in the 80s.
You were -3.
Yeah, because it came out like before I was born.
Yeah, it came out in 80.
Oh, I think maybe Jedi then?
Jedi was 83.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
So that, I mean, that's part of the difference is all we had was the thing. We didn't have anything to call them. They didn't name them in the movies. The only name we had for them was on the toys that came out, and they were AT-ATs. There was no AT-ST until Jedi, which was 3 years later. At that point, we were already calling it AT-AT.
So what I'm hearing is that in the presence of new information, you have decided not to change.
It's actually a generational divide, and you can tell generationally the fandom based on AT-AT. It's funny because it's very consistent. Yes, and absolutely, I'm saying that with new information, we still don't change what we call things. That's the way things work.
Well, I'm sure the trans community appreciates your dedication to consistency.
That's the way people still work. It's not necessarily right, but that's the way people are. It's only for the podcast that I call you David.
I know. Anyway, who gives a shit? They're fucking cool.
They
right?
Cool.
The ground assault on Hoth was fucking cool.
Either way, they're cool, yeah.
Yeah, either way, it was fucking cool. Like, dropping rocks on Hoth wouldn't have been cool.
So, no, like, it wouldn't.
Like, even, like, so, for, like, you know, this year, accepting the last 2 years, for Christmas, I took my dad and Tony to see the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra play orchestrally along with A New Hope and Empire. Right. And so
I know exactly where this is going to.
Yeah. Like when you're in the symphony, like you can't have your phone out. So like you're actually really fucking focused on the movie. Right. Like not like I'm, you know, jerking around on Facebook like I am through most of the movies I watch. And, you know, like these stories don't make a lot of goddamn sense at all. Like just why are we doing this? This is not good writing, but, you know, they're just cool adventure stories. The problem with this movie, the problem with Nine is, like, when we go beyond that, like, it's like, this is, like, actively detrimental to the fun of this movie.
So one of the problems I had with the movie, one of the many, but that sequence you were just talking about when Lando shows up with everyone at the end, that literally spits in the face of what happened in the previous movie, when they tried to do the same thing. They literally tried to do the same thing. We're putting out the call and nobody comes. Like it's such a big part of the last movie that like we tried and nobody came. And they didn't do anything through the course of this movie to earn people showing up. Nothing was done through the course of this film that caused people to show up.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the opportunity is with Leia.
It is. You're absolutely right. You could have shown Leia making a huge sacrifice, being the person standing alone, doing exactly what Luke did, except Luke was a hologram. So fuck that guy. I'm doing it as a real person and making a sacrifice and trying to make a change. Mm-hmm. Ultimately failing, but if people would have stood with me, maybe we could have. Well, you know what? She's also
like one of the most famous people in the goddamn galaxy.
Right. Yeah. The last princess of Alderaan. And, you know, like...
The resistance.
Yeah. You can make a big political or a big media statement out of this. You know, politics was such a big part of the prequel trilogy. And then you could show how truth and media, use truth and media to combat this. Like it would have been such a great, like there's such a great meta commentary there. Though the funny thing is, and the thing that went flashing in my mind, it's like, I remember watching it. It's like, what are these people doing? Why are these people just showing up to this fight? Why are they showing up in the face of overwhelming odds, fighting against their leader, going up against the military? And then I was thinking, oh, wait, a bunch of people just did that. They just showed up at a place and thought that they were a militia and did that. Granted, it's those weren't the good guys.
I mean, listen, Lando is a very powerful personality.
He is.
If Lando came to my house and he said, I need you to come with me to Exegol, I'd be like, all right, let me grab my blaster.
Do you see and my majestic cape?
Yeah, and a really big box of condoms. So in one of the, this is a weird aside, but in one of the many Star Wars games, Star Wars Jedi Knight, you play Kyle Katarn, some Jedi after, I think, after the events of 4, but before 5 or something. I don't know, somewhere in that time period. Well, anyway, you hook up with Lando at some point. And Lando's like, all right, well, hop into my ship. I'll just take us wherever we need to go. And you go into his ship, and it's not the Falcon. It's just whatever ship he's got. But, like, it's all purple felt, like, purple velvet shit. It's like a disco ball. It's just, like, a super pimped out shit. And you're like, oh. Oh, you know this place is stained.
Yeah. So it's like the Grandmaster ship.
Yeah.
In Ragnarok.
Yeah. Yeah, he uses this for orgies and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything. I watched that again the other day. It's so fucking good.
Yeah. I don't know. There was just such an underwhelming feeling of let's try it. You said it. It's let's undo everything we did with 8. Like, we gained a lot of what could have been really good ground with 8. To the point, like, I really wondered where they would have gone with it. Mm-hmm. Like there are parts of, yeah, like if there were parts of 8 that really felt very endy. Like the last scene in 8, you see, like we won, and you have the kid that we saw that. So, you know, and in this one, there was a kid we had met earlier in 8. And we see him at the end of the movie. He's like sweeping up and he reaches out and he's like a foot and a half away from a broom, and he reaches out and the broom goes into his hand and he just starts sweeping. And it's like, it's such a nice little, hey, there's a future out there for this. It's just a moment.
Yeah. And like all he would like, it's just like he's sweeping. He's under the stars. I think he looks at the stars either before or after. He's just like looking out at the universe. And then it's like a real casual thing. Like, and it's like, there's like,
this story is going to happen again. Like it's like, this is another, this is just where the loop starts over. And that's going to be the next Skywalker, you know, like that's not a Skywalker, but it's the next,
yeah, it's the next loop,
the next iteration of the story.
Yeah, it's and the next twin son.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been that moment would have been such a cool way to wrap up this movie, you know? And I understand what they were going for with that, but yeah. I don't know. It's just so rough.
Like, you know, in the previous version, the whole reveal, like the previous movie, the whole reveal that Leia was a Jedi was like fine. You know, it was fine. But in this one, we had to have her like lightsaber fighting Luke. And it's like, do we like have to have that here? It's just like a fucking awkward scene.
It
like,
was
because neither of these people are like the young. Like, why do we have to do this like young CGI face thing constantly now?
Well, especially when we have her daughter playing characters in the trilogy, like, and we see her, and she looks close enough.
I mean, yeah. She is completely decked out in the Endor outfit.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated.
Right. Speaking of which, have you seen the deep fake that somebody did of Millie Bobby Brown as Leia?
No.
It's incredible.
I bet it is.
Really incredible. It falls apart. It's about a 5-minute long video, and it sort of falls apart when they start showing her from Empire and Jedi, because the age of the actor is considerably different, you know, when you go from like an 18-year-old to a 25-year-old, they mature, they, you know, and Carrie Fisher aged a lot in those years because she was doing, you know, she was doing drugs and she was doing other things. So she actually aged probably more than a lot of people do visibly in that time. And it really shows up when you start looking, because Millie Bobby Brown's face, when they deep fake it in, it doesn't have the lines. It doesn't have the seriousness that Carrie Fisher's did, especially toward, you know, like the end of Jedi. So those images don't quite sync up really well, but the stuff from A New Hope, it looks really good. It looks really, really good.
Oh yeah, her in the bikini is.
It doesn't. So it doesn't.
The
quite
best part
work.
About no, it doesn't work. The best part of the bikini with Carrie Fisher is like she has this expression on her face the whole fucking time where you know she fucking hates this bikini and like you can like she's just got the expressive ass like she has sarcastic eyes and you can read the sarcasm in her eyes from across a fucking room and yeah. Millie Bobby Brown does not have. As sarcastic eyes.
No, you're right. Fisher. You're
that's
absolutely
the
right.
Is.
There's a sequence toward the end of it also where it's Luke and Leia on Endor where he's filling her in on, you know, I have it, my father had it, mm-hmm. and yeah. you have it, you know. And that sequence it just doesn't work because Leia at that point has seen shit, has been through shit, and she's just some shit. Yeah. And Millie Bobby Brown's face just isn't – when you deep fake it in, it doesn't give her the opportunity to act the role. So it's just kind of a dead expression. It's not what she could have brought to that scene. That said, it looks good. Like I could see her playing a young Leia.
It does look good, but
yeah.
Like a drug addiction brings a certain amount of grizzledness.
Yeah. The voice but, doesn't match up either toward the end because Carrie Fisher's voice changed later. Like it got more raspy and a little more dragged out than she had in the first one. So that's one of the disconnects also. It doesn't quite work. My brain sees it. You know, my eyes see it. My brain doesn't quite. It doesn't quite work. Like a couple weeks ago, Holden did this thing where he took the dance sequence, the dance off from Guardians of the Galaxy, and superimposed his face over Chris Pratt's. So he's got a little bit of the beard, and it works. Like I'm watching it, and I hear it, and I'm like, wow, Holden even like dubbed his voice into it. And then I kind of turn my head away and it's like, no, that's Chris Pratt's voice.
That's Chris Pratt. Yeah.
But watching it and Holden's voice is close enough that I'm watching it and my brain it made the switch and it's like, no, I'm seeing and hearing Holden, but it wasn't like it was trippy. Yeah, I had deep fake stuff. Yeah. That deep fake stuff is crazy. I had a similar moment today. I grilled some brats that we're having tomorrow. We're going to soak them in beer and onion tomorrow and have them for dinner tomorrow night. So I grilled them today because it's supposed to be like cold and rainy tomorrow. But inside the house, Holden is baking bacon in the oven because we had BLTs for dinner. So I'm like grilling these brats and I come into the house with these freshly cooked brats. And as I walk into the house, I smell bacon. It's like, that's not what these are supposed to smell like. My brain was just shutting down. This isn't right. This is not what brats are supposed to smell like.
Anna, talk to us about the movie.
Having your experience with it, what did we bring a lot of baggage to these movies.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot of baggage.
Yeah.
What did you message me the other day?
I've seen every one of these movies in a theater. I saw the first one in a drive-through because I was really young. So like my parents took us to a drive-in movie when we still lived in Delaware. Yeah, like this was forever ago. Mm-hmm. But I've seen all of these on a big screen when they did the special editions. I went and saw those on the big screen.
I do want to see 7, 8, but I am like at a loss for this world. Feels really hit and miss to me. I don't have a clear sense of like, it feels like the Force is used sometimes in this really interesting philosophical way. Like there are touches of it, but mostly it's a little bit deus ex machina. And so I feel like unpersuaded by the world and I feel like I should be into the world more, but it's really, And there are moments where I buy into it, but then, like, generally, like, the world and this force, like, I actually liked the dyad idea, and I think it would have been awesome if it hadn't shown up randomly at the end. And I'm not sure even the role that it was fully, I guess it was to make her Skywalker, was, like, what that, the point of that was. Like, I think that would have been really fascinating. And of course, like, the first, I mean, it's also weird the way it was written, because the middle chunk was done first, and it's, like, 40 years ago, and then you have prequels, and then you have after, but,
Yeah, there's something you also lose watching them in chronological order, because you get reveals. So, like, there is a, what's considered a proper way to watch them. You could watch them how we watched them, which would have been 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, yeah, then 7, 8, 9. I think that if I would show someone now and kind of lean them toward it, I would say watch 4 and 5, then watch 2 and 3, skip 1. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. You don't need it. But 4 and 5, then 2 and 3, then go watch 6.
Okay.
That, and until we got 7, 8, 9, it actually tells a really compelling story just watching those 5 movies.
Oh yeah.
Because you see Luke, you see how Luke interacts with this world. You are properly introduced to the world and like the powers and the abilities, and it's all done in this mystic way that you don't get too much information. They do this weird data dump in 1 with the midichlorians and all that. It's like that doesn't make sense for what we've seen before, but okay, it's your world, your story. But at the end of 5, you get the big reveal that Darth Vader's your father. Oh shit. And then we end. Well, then if you go back and tell how Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader, that fills in those gaps. And then you end the story, because then you can see, then it becomes more about the redemption of Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I will say, even with the, like, as bad as the prequels were in a lot of ways, I did feel better about the story as a whole until I started thinking about the last trilogy. And maybe it was just too much, or I had too many other things going on. But yeah, it felt more cohesive. It's just that, just some of the storytelling, and then the sets were horrific in the first 3. Like, it really looked like a B movie, and the studios had a like some kind of prehistoric thing going on, and also some medieval movies, and they just like ransacked the whatever costumes were left and sets and put them all together. It was really strange. But I mean, in terms of like the story and where it took things, I could appreciate that.
I think one of the things they, like, thinking about it now, I think one of the mistakes that they made, and like, I've been thinking about this a lot this past couple of days after rewatching the movie, you know, and they took this opportunity to really shoehorn in this cloning idea that we're going to clone Palpatine, and we're going to use Palpatine's clone to reset this. Mm-hmm. When Palpatine really wanted a Skywalker. Palpatine himself was a flawed being, and he knew that. He knew he needed a Skywalker. He knew that he needed a Skywalker. Let me just say that again. He knew he needed a Skywalker. That's why he got Anakin. That's why he wanted Luke. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he take Luke's hand and clone that? Yeah. And that could have been Rey. They could have cloned Luke from his hand. And he was,
that would be super interesting.
And like, then legitimately she would have been a Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
it was there. It was all there.
Yeah.
And you could have your smoldering sexual tension between her and Kylo Ren. Oh, wait, actually you can.
No, actually,
there's precedent in Star Wars for that already.
Yeah, there's precedent.
So was there smoldering sexual tension the whole time?
I don't know. I think Adam Driver is a terrible actor, so
Because I didn't see it, and then they kissed, and I was like, "What? Are you just kissing? Because you're not
there was,
related?"
There was a lot of supposed sexual tension there. But Anna, let me ask you this: you saw the prequels. Was there sexual tension between Hayden Christensen and
Natalie Portman?
Yeah, but she was so blank.
Here's the romance. It didn't matter. In Star Wars,
like, I mean,
it's about two attractive people being in the same region as each other.
I mean, moderately close in age.
Yeah.
Not even that. Doesn't even have to be that close.
That's all romance in Star Wars is.
Yeah, and Padme was just so meh as a human.
Yeah.
I mean,
my problem remains that he was such a powerful force user. He could have been manipulating her the entire time and not even knowing he was doing it. Mm-hmm.
That would have been an interesting story.
It's an interesting take on it. Like,
yeah,
you could have had just a couple of lines in the third episode where it's like, oh, now that she's out from under his influence, she's like, I don't even know why we're together. You know, I'm not interested in you. You were just a child. I don't love you. And then he freaks out, and all of a sudden she's like, I don't know why I said that, you know? And it's like, Oh shit. He's been manipulating her this whole time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, that would have been really crazy. And
it would have been on brand for him.
It would have made sense.
Yeah.
This creepy teenager who has no control of these amazing powers. Yeah. You know what a creepy 13-year-old is going to do? He's going to get that hot girl over there to like him.
Well, and it would have made a lot more sense, because I'm sitting here thinking the whole time, okay, she's queen, and now she's a senator, and she has an unexpected pregnancy and is going to step down. Like, who the fuck does that? Right. And
right?
And, like, a manipulation would have actually fixed a lot.
It would have. And it would have fixed most of that hot mess that was Attack of the Clones. Mm. Though the Pania cut is still really choice. Have you heard of this, Anna?
It's wonderful.
I'll let you explain it.
Every time the story isn't about Obi-Wan mm-hmm. searching for the clones, you just skip to the next chapter. So the entire second movie is just Obi-Wan searching for clones. And that story's not bad. It's like,
yeah.
I watch Ewan McGregor do stuff for a while.
That's why I'm
into a fight with Jango Fett. I'm in for that.
Yeah. That's why I'm really looking forward to the Kenobi series. I'm hoping it's just that. It's just Obi-Wan Kenobi just going around doing stuff.
Ewan McGregor's doing it, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'll watch that.
It's going to be a television series?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a Disney Plus.
Disney Plus announced like 18 new series. And they're like all in the same 40-year time span. It's like, I don't understand how Star Wars has such a vast universe, but we can only tell stories on four planets during the same 40 years.
I think only five of them are in that same 40 years. Because I think there's the three additional ones that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are doing.
Oh, like the Bad Company or whatever?
No. Bad Company is Bad Robot is Abrams.
No, Bad Company is the, like...
Oh, is that? Like, oh, yeah.
Bad Boy.
Bad Company, or the Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, there it is.
Bad Batch, that's actually the clones. That's clones that went wrong. I think that's a cartoon.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting take.
Right. They're doing that. They're doing the Ahsoka series. There's the one that Patty Jenkins was involved in, and now it's kind of up for debate after Wonder Woman 84. She was going to do a Rogue Squadron series. I think they were basing that off the novels, which I'd actually be pretty okay with. They're doing Kenobi, which is set before all this.
Yeah, after three, but before four.
After three, but before four. And there's another one I'm blanking on. Oh, I think they're doing one with the other Mandalorians.
Yeah. Yeah, where they go back and take Mandalore.
Yeah.
So here's the only thing I fucking want from this universe, like, at all going forward. You saw someone drew that that comic panel where I think it's Luke meets up with Ahsoka, because Mandalorian is established, they're both in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Meets up with Ahsoka and then tells her that in the end, Anakin came back. That is literally the only thing I want from any other Star Wars thing going forward. I want her to know that in the end, Anakin was redeemed. That's the only scene I want. Cause in the comic, she falls down and she's crying, and it's I'll find the panel for you. It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
If they just had Rosario Dawson do that scene exactly as drawn, that's all I want from my life. Cause I got really fucking excited.
Yeah. We still might get that. There's still the opportunity for that where we've headed.
Yeah, I know.
So I will say there were two things that really choked me up the first time I saw the movie in the theaters. I was surprised by them both again. The second time I watched it just the other day, one of them was, it wasn't Leia's death, because we kind of knew that was going to come around at some point, or at least assumed it. But when they told Chewie and he howled, I was in the theater and I had tears streaming down my face. I'm not even going to back down from that. That was his reaction to her death. That was okay. That was the feeling I needed. That was the moment I needed, the release I needed from Leia's death. And it followed up when Maz, is it? Oh, I can't remember the character's full name. The alien with the big eyes, I like the Wookiee. She brought him, she's like, this is for you. And she gave him the medallion that he didn't get in A New Hope. Mm-hmm. Because Anne, at the end of New Hope, they all get a medallion except for Chewbacca. He doesn't get one. And fans have noticed this. This is one of those things that, why doesn't Chewbacca get a medallion? Han gets a medallion. Luke gets one, but Chewie doesn't.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
I've had a long time with these movies to notice these.
Is it because he's not human, or?
It's just, they just never, it was just a mistake. It was just one of those things that it probably just got overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
But being geeks, we notice these things. And in this one, she hands it to him. When I saw it, it was like, oh yeah, it's so great. The first time I saw it in this one, because it was just such this feeling of, oh yeah, he's getting exactly what he should. You know, this is the moment. This time it was just kind of, oh yeah, well, that's fan service. I think if we would have started with Leia's funeral, or a little bit of something happening, Leia dying, then Leia's funeral. Give me that whole sequence where Chewbacca finds out and howls. Give us that release. Give us that moment. Then have somebody give him the medallion. I think it would have meant a lot more doing it right. Front load that fan service. Mm-hmm. Give me that. Get it out of the way and tell the story.
Yeah.
But to put it right in the middle, it just made this weird moment right in the middle of the movie It really slowed the pace of the movie for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, especially if it happens in the middle of a lightsaber fight.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on here? Why are we doing this poorly? It's not like we didn't have enough money for this movie. We had infinite money to make this movie, right? What are we doing here? Why is this like this?
Well, we also knew, we knew that we didn't have Carrie Fisher when, presumably, they started writing the movie.
Yep.
She died before the release of 8. They even gave us a moment in 8 where they could have delayed the release of 8, reshot some stuff, and they gave us a moment where she could have died.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of the movie. Yep. There was a point when she got blown out of the ship and she was floating in space, and then she force pulls herself back into the ship. Okay, that
I thought that's what it was going to be too.
Honestly, I did too. When that happened, it was like, oh wow, okay, that's the moment.
Handle it. Yeah.
That you know what? That's a good way of handling it. And then she pulled herself back in, and she's fine. It's like, oh wow, okay, well, I guess that's
early too.
Not that early. It just seemed like a weird choice that they did that and then still killed Luke. Like, we're not going to have a Skywalker going into the last movie. I don't know. Again, just weird choices all around. Not a consistent vision for the three movies. That's
baffling to me.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why that is. I don't feel like this. It's another thing that fucking drove me nuts about this movie. J.J. Abrams starts introducing new shit.
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is the third movie of a trilogy. This is not when you introduce new shit. Especially if you're not going to wrap up all the other shit. That's not how this works.
Right.
No new mysteries. Like, no new villains that aren't, like, previous villains pulling the strings behind the shadows, because that's clearly not what was happening in the other two movies. Like, it just wasn't. Like,
yeah.
Nothing in the other two movies had any relation to what was going on Exegol. Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
No. No. But again, there were some good things. There was if we're going to say no new things, Babu Frick, we wouldn't have had Babu Frick, which was a great thing.
Okay.
Also, that was really stupid plan.
Which stupid plan?
Wipe his memory, or
we're gonna wipe his memory.
Oh yeah, that was dumb. Everything about that's dumb.
Don't we have a way to back shit up?
R2's memory is unreliable. What the fuck? R2's not here. Like, just find any USB hard drive and fucking back this shit up. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, oh wait, we're gonna take the sacrifice that he makes, and then we're just gonna undo it. Like,
yeah.
Like, we set this up. We're gonna set up the sacrifice. All right, we're gonna have him reset. And he's like, that could have been a huge tragic thing that then we play for comedy really well, but like, he's not the same.
Yeah.
And that would have been really cool that C-3PO has to make this sacrifice. Oh no, we're just gonna undo that.
Yeah, just undo it and just...
like they
and he's worse for it because he can't remember what the last bit was, and right. So he can't remember what he's done, and so yeah.
And we have to do that whole shtick, which is not funny.
Yeah,
they kept giving us these fake sacrifices that didn't amount to anything. We lost Chewie.
I actually thought that they did ace Chewie there.
I did too. We were in the theater, and I turned around to Julie, and she's like, "I am done with this fucking movie."
No, I stopped it too.
Yeah, like,
and I googled, did Chewie really die?
I didn't give you a does the dog die warning.
Does Bigfoot die?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like super fucking cheap. Like,
right.
Killing him was like, oh, fuck, that was fucking Chewbacca.
Well, and Rey just smoked him.
Yeah.
Rey did it. Like, how, like, seeing that, it's like, oh shit, she's gonna fully turn. Like, yeah. This is gonna be her moment.
Be a big like shift in her. Yeah. And yeah, no, that was disappointing because it was so fake. It was like, it gives her a little moment, a taste of having used her power wrong, but it wasn't really real. And
yeah, and then even like the look on fucking Kylo's face, he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have switched.
Yeah, I don't know, that's what I was hoping for in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, that's the moment he realizes, oh my God, she's that far gone. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't even willing to kill Chewbacca. You know?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. It's just the other 100-some-odd people I smoked on that fucking transport. It's cool.
Right, it's fine.
Yeah. The hundreds of people that were withdrawing from this fight that I just murdered in cold blood. That's cool. It wasn't Chewie.
I like that Hux was the spy, and then he just gets smoked by the general because he's so shitty at lying.
Yeah.
I did that. Like, that was another one of those moments that was like, that whole sequence was well done. Like, yeah. I appreciated how they did that. It's like, yeah, I'm the traitor. Like, shoot me in the arm. Shoot me in the arm. It needs to be believable. Boom.
He just gets fucking smoked as soon as he walks in. That was good.
get the Supreme Leader. We found our traitor.
Yep. I did appreciate that. That was fucking good.
That was good. That was good. I don't care about you people. I just don't want Kylo Ren to win.
Yeah. Which I appreciate because Kylo Ren sucks.
Yeah. It
just sucks.
And that's the one thing, Anna, that you missed out on was the Kylo Ren, General Hux, like one-upsmanship that they just kept trying to do through the first two movies. You know, it's like, well, I'm a Jedi. Well, I'm a general. You know, it's like okay. that literally wasn't the dialogue, but that was what was playing as their voiceovers the whole time. They just kept trying to outdo each other for Snoke's approval.
Teenage pissing contest.
So. Well, and it's what's funny is like that pissing contest happens in the original trilogy and especially in the first movie, between Tarkin and Vader. You know, it's like, well, you know, I'm the military leader here. Yeah, well, I've got the Force. And that same relationship is carried through in this one between Hux and Ren, but they're 20 somethings who have a whole lot more piss and vinegar involved in it.
What else did I like about this movie?
The efficiency of the lightsaber fighting, I enjoyed. Like, we got in and got out of them fairly quickly for the most part. I like the sequence when Rey hands Kylo the saber, which she puts behind her back, and he takes it and just smokes the Knights of Ren, like just takes them out like they're nothing. That was very satisfying.
Yeah, that sequence, like the passing objects through the Force thing, makes no fucking sense, but I don't care. That sequence was cool.
Yep.
Like just that whole just putting it behind her head thing, that was fucking, it was fucking cool.
It had a fun Sense8 kind of a feel.
Yeah, yes, it really did.
And which is part of why I wish there had been a bit more of that through the whole series. Like, yeah, I wish everybody had their Sith
dyad. Sith buddies.
Yeah.
Cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually kind of digged. So the fight that they have when she is in his room and he's on the planet and like the room itself is like this weird amalgam of the two places they are. Like the ground is all like the planet and like the walls are all his room. And then when they cut through the Vader mask, he's like, oh shit.
I know where she's at.
You're like, fuck, you're in my room. Don't go on my computer.
Don't use my password. You probably know it.
I actually thought that was pretty.
That was clever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I liked Lando. He did, you know, Lando stuff.
Hey!
I'm Babu Freak.
I am C-3PO. I'm Babu Freak! Like, everybody else is like, oh no. Everybody else is like, oh no. And he's like, I'm just going to introduce myself.
Fucking love that. He shows up. He's in the fucking... He's in that one chick's spaceship at the fucking final fight for no fucking reason.
It was cheesy, but I loved the interaction between her and Poe. Like the times we see it at the end where she's like, hey, and he's like, hey, and she's like, no. No, and he's like, all right, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, they had to fix Poe in this movie too.
Yeah. Because
in the last movie, another common MRA complaint about the last movie is that they completely emasculate Poe. Because the general, it's not Leia in the previous movie. It's another woman general is like, hey, fucker, like you need to calm down. Like we're trying to win a war here. Like can you rein the fuck in?
They got Laura Dern to play that role, and she does it really well. Like she's like, "Hey, Flyboy, you need to calm your shit down." And he's like, "Well, you need to tell me what's going on. I'm the ace pilot." And she's like, "Yeah, and I'm the fucking general. I had a plan that you just fucking ruined, moron." Like dressed him down like the way he deserved it to be. Like, you know, where in the first trilogy, you know, the the hotshot ace pilot and the farm boy are going to run around and do whatever the fuck they want and save the day.
Okay.
And now the hotshot ace pilot needs to shut up and sit down because, son, the grown-ups are talking now.
Yeah.
You know, and the grown-ups are both women. And okay. you need to sit down and shut up because you don't know the whole plan.
Yeah.
Well, why wasn't I told the whole plan? I should know it. Well, you weren't told it because we know what kind of moron you are. And we're not going to tell you the whole plan. And that's kind of how it was treated. And it was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. You know, that he was being a dumbass. And
we have a different infrastructure now, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, that's the one thing that I do really appreciate about Star Wars, that a lot of those MRA dudes just seem to consistently forget, is that we pretty much generally had a female in charge of the rebellion, period. It was women who led the rebellion. They were in charge because it was Mon Mothma and Leia.
Yeah.
And then later it was Holdo and Leia. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like there were just as many female generals as males, but the females were tended to appear to be in higher positions. I'm sorry, go ahead.
She didn't get much screen time ever, though, did she? We saw her maybe
not
once.
Much. Yeah. Not much, but she was there, but she was clearly the one that was in charge.
Yeah, but also, like, the original trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, weren't strategic movies. They were hero movies.
You're right.
But you just have never saw things from that lens, I don't think.
Yeah.
You're right. Though we did see, like, the closest they got to strategic was the two meetings they had right before the runs on the Death Stars.
Yep.
And they were very similar meetings. Here's how we're going to attack the Death Star. Here's what the plan is, because these are kids' movies and it. We're not just going to show the plan. We're going to talk you through it before we're going to do it. What a lot of the MRA guys forget also, is that they saw these movies as children.
That's why 8 was so good.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great fucking movie.
Yep.
But it's also why I really loved Rogue One, because it is so very different. It's a war movie. That is a straight up.
That is true. Yeah.
It is a straight up war movie, and you know the result of it. Yeah. Like you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was so when Anna watched them chronologically, I was like, so you watched Rogue One right after Episode 3? Kind of lose the impact of like that final scene with Leia, like because you know part of the
wedge a thing.
The big reveal, right, for everybody else who watched Rogue One way after the fact is like, oh, this is what they're giving them.
Yeah.
Oh, this is how it dies in.
But I knew that because I had seen 3 before, and of course I had seen 4. So like I knew that connection already. But yeah, it was more for the time that I felt like Rogue One got me off track.
Yeah, so you could have watched 8 if you haven't watched Rogue One.
I would say it is definitely worth your time to see 7 and 8.
Yeah, I probably will.
It's worth your time. You need to see 8, but I think you need 7 before 8.
Okay.
I don't remember what happens in 7, and it's, my memory of 8 is sketchy as shit.
8's really good.
8 is really good.
Yeah, I do wonder if I feel like 9 would be more settled in my, like a lot of the questions and the stuff that felt iffy about 9 would be
no. In fact, it will probably infuriate you a little more about 9 that after you see what they did with 8, just because some of the beats they hit, some of the points that they're trying to make at the meta story, that we've talked about them, the one hero, the person who doesn't follow the plan, they're not always the hero. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're the one that makes it harder for the people who are trying to do their job.
Hero's just another 4-letter word. Like butt.
Like Jedi.
A scandalo.
Like Sith. You're making faces over there.
Yeah, my watch just told me I had a Facebook Messenger message, and it's like, this is your new message from 1 day ago. It's like, yeah, okay. Like,
Why are Facebook's weird that way.
Why are you telling me this now? So it's like it didn't pop up on my phone or on the like I've already seen the message.
I love the ones where it's like, oh, there's this message from 6 minutes ago. I look at it 2 days ago. This message was posted. What the? Thanks, Facebook. Wow. Thanks for that timely notification here.
Mm-hmm. I saw my watch this afternoon that my boss is like, I'm done with this meeting early. Can you jump on my Zoom and we can talk about this thing? So I was like, fine. So I jumped onto a Zoom and it's like a bunch of other people. He's not there and some other guy's using it to do some presentation. And I was like, what's going on here, everybody? And they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. So then I was looking at my messages and it was like a message he'd sent me this morning.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, carry on, everybody. Good work.
What did you think of the Han Solo appearance in this movie? Boy, this is not going to carry well because I'm going to truncate silence. But there has been a good 15 seconds of dead silence as two other people are just making faces at me in the video. This is worth going back and watching the video for because I asked the question and it's just like brain freeze. It's like just...
I felt like that was one of the things I probably missed by 7 and 8 because it didn't seem to make sense. And I figured they've had this relationship the whole time I mean, there's also like a father son sort of thing that has to happen there too.
Yes.
Patterns in the whole.
Yeah. Missing seven is the big thing you missed out of that moment.
I felt like it closed a loop. And I feel like it could have been better, but also it was fine. I always like seeing Han.
I do too. That one was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
When I saw it in the theater, because just given Harrison Ford's feelings about Star Wars in general, like it was apparently like pulling teeth to get him to come back at all. And then to see him show up again, that it was like, whoa.
That guy was supposed to sit around and smoke weed, man.
Yeah.
That's like what that guy does.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what that guy's been doing for like 50 years. That's just Harrison Ford.
Yeah. I did like the I know. Like
yeah.
That was cheesy, but man, that was so well done.
It was cheesy, but fuck, it was good.
It was really good, especially like Dad, I know. Like they earned that one. Like that one did feel earned.
Yeah, no, I was fine with that one. Shit was good.
Yeah.
The entire sequence on the planet with the party made no fucking sense. You know, where they meet Lando, and he's like, oh yeah, Luke was here, and he was tracking the spaceship out in the desert. But then the trail went cold, so then they go to the spaceship, and it's just sitting there, and then just immediately find what they were looking for. It's like, oh okay.
Well, because they went down the pole... that they didn't go down. Apparently, Luke didn't apparently go down before.
Luke apparently spent zero time looking around. Like...
Right. Using his big force brain to find the ship under the desert.
Like any computers or just like literally anything.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here's all this quicksand. Maybe it's in this quicksand. Those were beans.
Oh.
Black beans.
Ooh.
You're welcome for that.
I do like black beans.
I've been getting into black beans too. I don't know what else I have to say here other than expressing my disappointment in endless loops.
I'm glad that we now have the Mandalorian so that I can be happy about Star Wars things again, about new Star Wars things again, because I am very happy about the Mandalorian.
Mando's all right. It just has a style to it that has been bereft from a bunch of Star Wars work previously.
Yeah.
Until it starts getting mired in bullshit Jedi lore, which hopefully has stopped now.
Yeah. The thing that I like, though, is that they don't spend a tremendous amount of time on that.
Like they, 20-minute episodes.
And they go in and out of them pretty quick. Like, oh, we're going to introduce Ahsoka, but there she is for an episode.
I'm not training this kid. Get the fuck out of here. Okay.
All right. Time to move on.
Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba. That's Ahsoka. She was pretty fucking badass, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was pleased with how that happened. That's actually why I got Disney Plus.
Because she was going to be in it?
To actually watch it, yeah. So I didn't watch it when it aired. So I was just watching all the Twitter shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw she popped up there, and I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, this could be good.
It was.
I saw that comic I sent you, and I'm like, oh, fuck, yeah. Am I going to get this? Oh!
So have you watched any of WandaVision yet?
I am current on WandaVision.
What do you think about WandaVision?
Ooh, I almost bailed on the first episode, then the second episode, then the third episode. But Kat Denning shows up in the fourth episode, and I am back in.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen's not my jam, but Kat Dennings is... where it's at.
I think Elizabeth Olsen's doing a great job in this.
I also hate old-timey television. So the 50s sitcom and then the 60s sitcom and then the 70s sitcom have zero appeal to me.
You know it's not about that, though, right?
I obviously know it's not about that. But...
yeah. Yeah, I saw somebody comment on Facebook. They're like, oh, you need... so just a general conversation. Somebody's like, oh, you need to watch WandaVision. And someone else is like, oh, but I hate sitcoms. Then you don't understand. Yeah, then you don't understand what this is about, but that's okay.
I did watch a shitload of I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched when I was younger, though.
Oh, yeah, me too.
All about that shit.
Yep. And that's what that 60s episode felt like, big time.
Yep.
Oh, and the 70s episode was totally Brady Bunch. That was 100% the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Like, I see what they're doing.
Yeah, it's...
but also...
how she's processing her grief, but with comfortable things. Like we all are doing in the COVID times. I mean, that's why nostalgia TV has really hit some high marks with people streaming.
Yeah.
Things like Friends and The Office have... done huge numbers in streaming just because people are looking for comfortable things that they can watch a lot of.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to see what they do with the 80s sitcom in the next episode. Because I think we're going to see some 80s sitcom action in the next one.
Do you?
I think so.
Because of the decade progression, the next one is the 90s.
No, because the fourth episode was a recap of the first three. And they...
I know, but
the
that's
fourth
when the 80s episode would have
been. No. No, because I think we've now caught up in the chronology.
70, 80. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so 80s is the next
one. Yeah.
We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. All right.
I think that'll be playing concurrent with whatever's happening in the real world.
Yeah, now that they've merged the two. Or now that they will merge the two. Have you watched The Expanse this season?
I have not watched today's episode.
Do not follow James S.A. Corey on Twitter.
I already got something spoiled about this today's episode, which I knew was going to happen anyway, because the actor is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I knew it was going to happen, and I didn't know how it was going to happen. But now I know how it happened, and I'll watch the episode anyway, because whatever. Yeah, that's fine. I'm glad to see. Right, I'm glad to see they get rid of him. But
well, I'll see you later. Have a good night.
All right, see ya. Yep. See ya. Bye. Thanks for being.
Thank you.
Yeah, we should probably call this a night anyway. So
yeah, it's getting fucking late.
All right, we don't have a movie to talk about next week.
I know.
You've watched a lot of things. Any suggestions?
I haven't watched a lot of movies though. I've watched a lot of TV lately.
Yeah, same.
Oh boy, what am I watching here? Oh, that is Fate, that fairy thing that Netflix just dropped, and it is dreadful. Why does it say I don't have a subscription to Netflix? That's not right. Oh. You know, I honestly can't remember the last movie I watched. God damn.
Why is Netflix making me sign in? That's weird.
It just popped up a thing telling me that my price was going up. So that's
cool. Oh.
Yeah, I knew they were gonna do the thing in The Expanse.
Yeah.
And you know, the way they did it was alright. The way they handled it was alright. But goddamn, the season's been fucking good, man.
You're right. You are absolutely I like the story. I liked this book in the story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was what I wanted from it. I'm trying to remember, is it after this book that we take the time jump?
No. It's the next book.
Okay. But if I'm remembering right, next season is the last season? Did they confirm that?
I think next season is their last season.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on with my internet?
All right. I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast, and we'll figure something out. Once we do, I will post it on the feed, on the Facebooks. We'll schedule it, hopefully sooner than the afternoon of, but that's all right.
Later.
Yep. See you next week.